I'm Jaco Voigt, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled Boost, a series specifically created to boost businesses in South Africa by letting passionate and committed business people share their stories. In this episode, we're chatting about techies. We're chatting about hardworking engineers, technicians, electricians, and other artisans that stands ready to deliver outstanding service to you. If you have IT problems or electrical issues, you need a techie to come to your rescue. I'm honored to be joined by Andre Hoffman, the founder and CEO of My Techie. Andre, welcome.
Thank you, Jaco. Good morning and good morning to your listeners.
So we always start the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Andre Hoffman, born in eThekwini, Zulu boy. 40 years in the telecoms industry. Now decided to do my own thing. Basically, I'm a telecoms engineer, but decided at some point that the jobs in the corporate world were not for me. They threw me out anyway. So we started My Techie. It's something that I've been thinking about for quite a while. Really, it's about creating opportunities. And, you know, people have got skills. And South Africa is blessed with a very young population, and that young population can and does have skills. So what we doing is we're making that visible. My Techie is our channel for people to not necessarily get jobs, but to create jobs, create opportunities to become their own employer, self-employed, or if they want to get jobs, that's also great. So my background is telecoms, been a techie most of my life. Did a bit of time in the South African Institute of Electrical Engineers. I worked for Telkom, worked for Broadband Infraco, worked for Link Africa, worked overseas. And now we're making a difference. Hashtag MAD, make a difference. Or if you're in government, make a decision.
Okay, here we go. That's quite a nice intro. So let's jump straight into it. So what does My Techie do?
Jaco, that's a good question. We do. We're a little bit like a catalyst. You've got a company called Catalytic. Ah. We're a catalyst as well. You remember when you went to school, Jaco, you put the teacher put some chemicals in a beaker and then nothing happened. He put two chemicals and then nothing happened. But he dropped a little thing in there called a catalyst and something then reacted. So that's what we think we do. We solve a problem. We solve a problem for both buyers and sellers of technical skills. Today, you see a lot of people standing on the side of the road with B degrees and no work. You see companies looking for skills, but they can't find them. Why? There's something wrong systemically. So we looked at this problem a little differently, and we're a technician as a service or techie as a service. You've heard of as a service. You get platform as a service, software as a service. So we're now creating the opportunity for people to take the skills, and we all have skills over a career of 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You accumulate a lot of experience and skills. You never lose that. You might have lost your job. You might have been retrenched or dismissed or whatever reason, but that skill goes with you. All you might now need is a tool set, a bucky, a ladder, whatever it is that you can do, and we can monetize that. And we do it a little differently. We create opportunity for people, and not necessarily individuals. We look at people and say, Jaco, you've got this set of skills. This person that's one or two blocks away from you has got this set of skills. Between the two of you, we can actually create an opportunity that you can monetize as a team. Team up. Okay. One of the things I learned very quickly in the last year, because we've had a pandemic year, we've had a year of enormous difficulty. A lot of electricians, for example, very good hand skills, wonderful. They know how to use ladders, they know how to use drills, they know how to use all those hand tools. They've got great skills. Give them, pair them up with a router technician, and you've got an amazing team that can monetize. And we've got great projects for those kinds of teams. And sometimes people come to me and say, Andre, I can't find work. I say, well, what is your skill set? And we match them up with someone else, and suddenly they're a viable, they become viable because we're creating the opportunity for people to work together, teaming up.
Okay, and then how do you, so if I've got those skills and I come to you, how do I end up monetizing that thing?
We are a B2B function currently. Okay. So we have a number of anchor tenants, and we look at what they need as a specification. So one of our big clients is MTN Supersonic. Another one is QCon for VSAT. We're busy doing a lot of work now for the Centex set-top box rollout. Okay. So what does that skill set require? We look at that, and then we look at what you have, and then we put you into a geographical group, and we then see how we can match you up. And that's where we find individuals. A person will come to me at entry level and say, I've got a fiber certificate. I've done some training with Triple Play or with Resolution Circle, and I've done this little course. Fantastic. You obviously got an aptitude for technical stuff, but you don't have the bucky. You don't have the tools. You don't have the experience. Let's pair you up. Let's bring you alongside. Because everyone needs someone to hold the toolbox. You got to hold the ladder. You can't work alone.
Yes.
And we incentivize that. So you get involved. You work together in your communities. We are like the village technician as well. So it's the community is taking ownership for the technical things that are happening. One of the payoff lines we tell our service providers is, we give you the edge because we live there.
Yeah, I like that. That's super cool. So, and then Andre, why did you start the business?
I started the business because I could see we face a conundrum globally, I think it is. There's this jobless growth situation. People have got skills. They can't find work. When I was doing my time as an office bearer at the South African Institute of Electrical Engineers, I came across so many young students with B degrees and said to me, Andre, we can't find work. And that was a very sad thing. So I said, let's do things a little differently. Let's create a marketplace. Just like you can go to Amazon or you can go to Takealot and you can buy smartphones, you can buy things, you can buy furniture. In my marketplace, you can buy skills. I can find you a router technician that speaks Xhosa, that can wire a plug and lives in Bazana, and can probably find you three of them. And if that's what you need, so you can mix and match your skill, or we could pull a team together for you to deal with a problem in a remote place. We're living in a very distributed world.
Yeah.
If you think about it, the world has changed from central control to a more distributed control. The internet, as you know, is a distributed network. The blockchains are a very distributed network. And now we have a distributed workforce that you can tap into anytime you want.
And I think with all of these lockdowns, and let's call it, I call it COVID midlife is what I refer it to, where everybody's moving sort of, I almost want to say back out into the regions or to the seaside or whatever, the customer base has also become more distributed. It's not necessarily concentrated in Joburg and Cape Town.
Correct. People are working from home. They're studying from home. And the office in the home is a grey environment. It's blurred. Mm. People don't necessarily come into a particular zone anymore. People have to they create the office from home, so the tech is there with them. People like yourself in your business, you understand cloud computing, the energy, the intelligence sits in the cloud, but at the edge you still need to have a box, you still need to have an interface. And generally what happens with service providers is they have this wonderful rollout of fiber to the home or fixed wireless broadband to the home. You end up with this lovely Wi-Fi router somewhere in your house, but your office is down the passage. Your daughter's bedroom when she's studying at university is somewhere else. And how do you spread that broadband? IoT is coming. There is so much tech coming towards the tsunami of tech that's coming towards the edge, and people need that interpreted and understood. So that distributed nature leaves us with the opportunity to have a tier one skill in that community ready to mobilize and also give them an opportunity to earn a living as a white label technician. And not necessarily today they're working for red, tomorrow for blue, the next day for yellow, or the other day for green. It doesn't matter. They have the technical skill.
So there's so much that you touched on now that's it's actually quite fascinating to me. So where I live, there's a Telegram group about tech in the state where we live. And I mean, on a daily, hourly basis almost, there's all of these edge problems like what you talk about now, and you can just see the frustration in people's lives where this tech is just such a grey area and a black hole almost, like, to me, you know. And then, I think there's definitely a gap for that. So on that note, who are your typical customers?
So like I said originally, we're B2B, so we have a few anchor tenants. The first customer that put their hand up to take a chance on my techie was Supersonic.
Okay, that's
part
fantastic.
Of the MTN group. And they've launched a new product called Air Fiber, which is a little bit different. It's got nothing to do with fiber, actually. It's a fixed wireless broadband service, a little bit like a DSTV installation. So we were trained, and we are now training others. And the nice thing about it is they use the same application as we do, the Centricity application, and the work is tasked to us. So that gives us a nice anchor tenant. The problem we've had, though, is last year there was a global semiconductor shortage, and there was no equipment. So the whole of last year we were almost treading water, waiting for this equipment.
This year is not that much different.
This year is not that much different, but there is a little bit of kit in town. We do VSAT work for QCon. We do work for MPU Communications, LAN cabling, structured networks, and now we've got quite a nice bite at the Centec rollout of set-top boxes for the digital TV migration, and those installations are also pretty simple. So what we try to do for technicians is give them what we call opportunity density. You might be a fiber technician or a transmission technician or an electrical artisan. Opportunity density means we can take your skill, add more arrows to your quiver, give you more opportunity. So we look at two things. We look at what the skill a technician has, and we look at what skills the market needs. And we say to you, Jaco, there's two additional micro courses you could do that would give you a great amount of opportunity. Would you like to do them? And then help you get earn more money up
for you. There's so much around this conversation that I absolutely love, because I mean, one of the reasons why we're doing Boost is we fundamentally believe that SMEs will drive the economy. I think, like you said earlier, globally, the days of having these mega corporations with hundreds of work or thousands of workforce technicians or stuff like that's over. And what you have done is created this platform where you're giving people throughout the country an opportunity to apply their skills and get that opportunity. I just absolutely love it. So training and upskilling forms a big part of your offering or your activities?
Yeah, absolutely. We ourselves don't do the training, but we're affiliated with the accredited training providers, the universities, the different training plans. They've got serious accreditation. Quality is not negotiable. We look at that as part of the DNA of our organization. So if you're a quality training provider, we ask you to make your courses available. We don't get involved in the financial transaction. Quite a few of the training companies do offer some of the delivering candidates free training. So we do an assessment, a gap assessment, and say, this is what you have got, this is what you need, this is what you could do if you got this. Micro courses. It's not about going to university for 3 to 5 years and coming out of it 250,000 rand in debt and can't find work. It's about agility and about finding the ability to monetize your skill very quickly, and that's what we believe we can do. So we match up the training providers with the technicians. Obviously, we give them, in the case of Air Fiber, for example, there's vendor training, which is free online, and then we do physical checks. So we use the Ronald Reagan method. We trust you, but we need to verify. So we'll have a look at what skills you have got and what you've been trained at. We do a little test. We check. And it's a bit of a meritocracy. The nice thing about our app is that it's evidence-based. So if you can do a fiber splice, let's see it. Let's see the result. If you can do a configuration of a router, you'll do it. You'll show the evidence. There's no way to sneak around it. Your results speak for themselves. Every job you do is almost like the interview for your next job, because it's a meritocracy. You get rated. You're very proud of that history of that job that you did, because it represents you. And that's why the technicians that do well in this environment have got a great pedigree, and you can see it.
So that's almost like, can I say it, checking ratings of a driver on Uber, as an example.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. So clients will, I'll come to your house, I'll do an installation, and then afterwards, on the app, you're asked to rate and make a comment. And it's been interesting to see how nice the comments are, and about how technicians who really are proud of what they're doing, they do understand, they're passionate about what they do, and it comes through in their work. Those that are a little bit slack and take chances, they have to take photographs. They have to take photographs of the installation before and after. And then I'll look at that photograph and I'll say, really? Is that the way you terminate the cable? Is that the way you run the cable in the house? Oh, no, sorry, I'll do it again.
So from that perspective, as an end customer, I almost have, I almost want to say peace of mind that I know there's protection for me. I'm not going to get stuck into a technical mud pit where I just battle with somebody that's come and done a bad installation for me. There's almost like a sense of security that I get by utilizing the platform.
Yeah, absolutely. If the job is not done to the satisfaction of the client, and the client, the technician will go back and sort it out, or they'll find themselves yellow carded, possibly red carded.
And I mean, that's the way the world works. I just love that, because I mean, then it's almost like I'm having my own business, and I need to make sure that I step up to the plate in order to get more customers.
Exactly. That's why we call them techtrepreneurs. They're entrepreneurs and they're technical, and we're giving them some soft skills: how to sell, how to do a little quote, how to. You're not working for an employer anymore. You are your own employer. And make a difference in your own life. And if you decide for today, look, my daughter's got ballet, or my son's playing soccer, I'm going to go and do that. That's your benefit, because you can. It's a lifestyle choice. You can get your work-life balance right. But no, I want to work Saturday, Sunday. I want to push it and do a few installs. I'll finish at 7 tonight. You can do that.
And I mean, that's all indications. That's the way the world's going. Instead of just working for a salary and trading your time, is to go into an outcomes-based scenario where you get paid for the work that you complete. I just love this concept. So, Andre, what's the criteria to join the platform? If I'm now listening to this and I'm let's go to my frame of reference. If I'm now a young aspiring techie in George, what's the criteria to join the platform?
They got techies in George. That's good.
Oh. I think there's a lot of people going there.
Mostly retired people. No, we obviously we look at you at three things. One, are you passionate about tech? Is tech your bent in life? Do you enjoy it? And obviously you can make money out of it. And you could have as a matric or even less. It doesn't really matter. We have what we call an oil refinery process. You'll jump through about 22 hoops, which are basic, like FICA, KYC, banking details, who are you, what are your background.
22?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot. But even things like tool checks, certification checks, we need to know who you are. We can't send you into someone's house and we have no clue who you are. We've seen the problems that Uber has faced. So we can take you from entry level, and we can allow you to percolate up through the refinery to become, if ultimately you want to become a specialist, if you want to, or you can become from an intern right the way through to a really expert in your field. Now, technically, there's a lot of options for you: electrical, renewable energy, telecoms, wireless, microwave, fiber, software, security, router. There's so many different avenues, and you'll find your niche. But and I always tell the young people, don't make your decisions about specialization initially. Try a few things, get the experience, especially if you can get it in the field, and then you'll go back and become a better manager, leader, network operator, whatever it is you want to be. So the criteria is fairly simple.
Or techtrepreneur like you.
Techtrepreneur. So the options are there for you to get a job, or to build your own job, to become that techtrepreneur and stay in the percolate in the pool. We've got technicians that are working out in Katu, out in the deep side of the Northern Cape, who are good telecoms technicians. But for example, this particular individual had no clue about VSAT. We put them on a course, an online course for half a day. They bought a sat meter, and within a week they were doing satellite installations perfectly well.
That's amazing.
I've got a young lady electrician, Red Seal certified electrician, retrenched from the municipality of Tshwane during the COVID epidemic.
Yeah.
We had her trained on fiber and telecoms. She's one of our best technicians in Mamelodi. Really showing the guys what to do, because it's not about it's about attitude, it's about aptitude, it's about your passion, and then you can take what you have and we mold it and create it to something even better. Now this individual is earning money where she would have not had a job.
So on that note then, and I mean, I just love this. So you just the structured framework that you created in order to enable success is just is amazing to me. So if I'm now this lady in Mamelodi that got retrenched, how do I get access to my techie?
The starting point is our website, and there's a call to action there, where you can either email or you can push a button that says I'm interested. I'll get a message, and then I'll follow that up with a request for information, get the contact details, review the CVs, go through those 22 hoops eventually over time, start assigning them to teams, get them trained up for the specific installations, and then get going. So the entry level generally is the website. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter feed. We are flying a little bit below the radar because we haven't had a lot of media exposure. and we're not yet in the consumer environment. That's another phase for us. So the easiest way in is via the website. Push the button, a little message will come through, and that gets followed up. Or they could send us an email, techie@mytechiesa.co.za, and then we follow up with that.
Okay, so that's the one side of the platform, and then you spoke now about the B2B, business to business. So at this point in time, if I'm sitting at my house in George and I've got some other IT problem there, I can't as a consumer access the service yet. It's got to be via some form of business. But as you say, as a phase two, that's sort of what you're looking at.
Yes, definitely going to look at the consumer model. We have a lot of competition in this, let's call it yellow page app space. We're not the only game in town, and there are consumer apps to find a plumber, to find an electrician, and
yes,
that sort of thing.
Okay.
So we will get there, but we decided rather we did not want to build the Titanic in day one. We build a chassis, and we will adapt it. It's an agile platform, and we'll clip on the bells and whistles as we go along. We definitely see the consumer market as a good target to get to.
But
if I've got a baseload income from my anchor tenants, I can then use that to really make it look slick. And the technicians are getting reasonable work from the main service providers. They can also tap into the consumer market, who, like you say, they sit and they've got smart technology. They want a security camera system, or their gate motor doesn't work, or their electric fence is broken, or even their appliances. We'll get to that. We've done a few for friends and family who need assistance, and there's quite a lot of tech coming. For example, in the managed energy space, we're working with CBR, and there's smart energy controllers that you can buy off the shelf at the builders' warehouses and these kinds of places. And we're getting the opportunity to go to a home and say, would you like me to assist you manage your energy? And they can put controllers that they can control on their phones, their geysers, their air conditioners, and so that kind of tech gets a bit mystifying for certain people.
Yes.
So we can demystify it, and they love it. So it all links back to routers, to internet, to smart tech, and that's the next phase. But for me, at the moment, I need to get the use case working in the B2B space.
Agreed. So let's talk about that then. What would you say are the typical or the biggest hurdles that you face on a daily basis in the business? Do you find that corporate South Africa is a bit slow to support, or...
Yeah, initially that was my problem. When I started in 2019, corporate South Africa just didn't take me seriously at all. I thought I could knock on the doors of my colleagues in the industry and they would say, yes, sure, let's try you out. But there's...
I mean, they all have the problem that you're busy solving, you know, because, I mean, it's very, very difficult to retain or grow talent. I mean...
It's true. But they already have channels, they already have contractors, they already have a base, and they haven't yet understood the fact that there is this more open model, distributed model, to could tap into. We started cracking that nut, and it's taken a while, but I think if we can demonstrate through the anchor tenants that we have that have given us the opportunity, like Supersonic, QCon, Centec, and others, we will be able to demonstrate to the reds and blues and yellows, and we're in an advanced stage of negotiations with some of those entities for rather sizable contracts through our network. So that's been the one challenge to be taken seriously. The other challenge, obviously, is on the supply side. I'm not so sure that the education we're giving our technicians is that sometimes it's the thinking skills and the ability to logically solve a problem. They tend to be and following instructions. We have a lot of frustrations with that sometimes. The nice thing about the app is it's very deterministic. Step one, step two, step three.
Okay.
But you'll find a lot of people will take chances and they'll fly by the seat of their pants and they'll do the work and, oh, do I need to put it on the app? Yes. Okay. So it's thinking skills, but because it's a meritocracy, they quickly get into alignment. I've seen a great improvement in the first work that one technician gets from the one that happens subsequently. So the other challenge is a systemic one. Technicians who look for jobs don't necessarily have the wherewithal to actually operate as standalone self contractors, because they don't have buckies, they don't have smartphones, they don't have PPE, they don't necessarily have the tools. So those little systemic things, the additional stuff that they need to monetize the skill that they have, can be a challenge. We're trying to assist them with with partners who maybe can give them a little bit of working capital, help them with, and that's where the teaming up helps. Electrician who has a bucky and a ladder but doesn't understand how to configure a router works with a router guy or a fiber guy, and they've got a viable team.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay. So, and again, you know, I speak about it a lot. I think as a business in South Africa, there's often a lot of almost like lip service where everybody knows we've got to support SMEs, we've got to support entrepreneurship, but to take that and then make it real, there's sometimes a lag or a gap.
Fair amount of latency.
100%. I think maybe conversations like this will hopefully maybe prod people along to say, let me take a chance. I don't really have anything to lose, and I mean, like I say, you know, when you look at it on paper, you're literally solving the problem that every business has, or any technical business has. So it's almost like a no-brainer. But how do you get it going? Okay, Andre, and then my last question. I always like us to make it real. So if I'm now one of these business customers that you typically would like to provide service to, where do I start?
Yeah, basically the same entry point. The website is there. My LinkedIn page is there. We are well represented in the industry forums like the Digital Council Africa, where we meet with the service provider group. Generally, after spending 40 years in an industry like this, you get fairly known. It's a small world. So the starting point is to make contact with me, and quite a few of them have.
Okay.
And we're doing the dance about what we can do and what we can't do. We are a willing buyer, willing seller marketplace. We don't dictate pricing. We do recommend, though. I have had engagements with clients who I feel are unreasonable in terms of the rates that they are prepared to offer our technicians, and I've even walked away and declined work. I do want to fight for the small guy, because our commercial model is a bit different. For every 1 rand that you as a service provider pay through to my techie, to a technician, we're taking 15 cents. That's known, and that's it. The other 85 cents is going to the technician on the ground. We have to survive on that 15 cents per rand. And that's one of the key differentiators from other contractor models, where it's quite a bit different and the technician ends up with the short end of the stick. So we look at it, we believe ethically, and we try to recommend that a reasonable price is paid. I've had situations where service providers said they want people to be on standby 24/7 to react, and they're not prepared to pay any kind of standby allowance, and it just seems unfair. So we try to mitigate for that, but we are reasonable. So the way in is make contact with me. We have a small client base, so it's not that difficult. And then also we are in the line of the normal tender process. You can't normally do these kinds of deals with these big entities without going through a tender process, which is fine, not a problem. I have a strong partnership with a BE level 1 company, and we're also in a consortium agreement with another rather large BE level 1 company. And through those channels, we're able to knock on doors and make a difference. What is a pity in a way is that national government and local government hasn't really cottoned on to this opportunity to help the people with service delivery, and to help young black entrepreneurs really make a difference. So in the case of Supersonic, we have empowered currently, and it's at early days, because although the project started in May last year, went into hiatus with the semiconductor shortage, it started in earnest in January this year. We have about 7 SMME entities, or 8, maybe 10 SMME entities that are making money across Gauteng currently, good money. And I can demonstrate that and show that to them. These are the names, these are the companies, these are what they are, and this is how they are making a difference. And like I said, 85% of that money is going directly to the technician on the ground. We give them support, ecosystemic support, mentorship, continued professional development. We're working as a team, as a federation. This one needs cable. This one needs this. How do we get it? We're negotiating good prices with our supply chain. So tools, very important that they have good quality tools. Very important that they have good quality materials. So we're trying to negotiate them to get those good quality things. Good quality smartphones. You need a smartphone to operate in this environment.
100%.
And a lot of the guys have got cheap and nasty things. And the app itself needs a fairly robust, a lot of memory to operate. But that's your ticket to the game.
Correct.
So these are the kinds of things that we're helping them negotiate.
Well, even there, I mean, if you're a smartphone vendor, there's an opportunity to play your corporate citizen's part.
Which is what I told MTN, you're giving us work, why don't you sell us some good packages?
You actually reminded me now of one I said one last question, but there is one more. From a geographic perspective, what's the area that you can service?
The whole of South Africa nationally, from Messina to Saldanha Bay, from Mafeking to Nelspruit and everywhere in between. We're also Namibia is chomping at the bit to take a piece of this. Nigeria, many of the countries in Africa love this construct, and I said to them, wait until we have the use case working properly. But in South Africa, we've got over 1,000 technicians, well, about 800 registered, but a pipeline of another 1,000 coming through. I've got over 300 SMME entities across the country in the ICT and renewable energy space, welders, fitters and turners, and whereas they wouldn't be able to knock on a door of an MTN or a Telkom or a DFA and get work, through a federation like this, we can help them. And so we have national and growing daily, every day. My HR work starts at sort of midnight and goes through to 2 in the morning, reading CVs. I must have read, I don't know how many thousand CVs. Sadly, the way people write CVs is not that great. But if you really look at this, I look at a CV differently now. I look at a CV and I say, what can I monetize from this? How can this individual turn this skill into something that earns and puts food on their table? And I look at it like that. And so it's national and growing.
Okay. Andre, fantastic. I mean, it's so inspiring, and it speaks to, I mean, this is a glaring example of what I think what we need in South Africa in order to create the workforce and the enablement of the future. I think it's a glaring example. And I think there's so many opportunities that comes out of this, like you said. Now, I mean, if I was a head school master and I listened to this high school headmaster, maybe that's a way to start already to provide a channel for the kids leaving school to come into some form of structure where they can be entrepreneurial, make sure they have all of the relevant soft skills. From a corporate South Africa perspective, I think we've got to wake up and start playing the game.
Yeah, absolutely. The education that we're getting is fine. It's giving people a certain amount of skill. But to turn that into, we can't just expect to get jobs anymore. The whole construct of getting a job and working until you go on pension and going on pension, it's not a realistic option these days. So you've got to be able to hustle. And I know that necessarily not everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur. So there's opportunities for you to be either a tech entrepreneur, or to be the assistant and work in a job with someone else or get a job. So there's many ways to skin this cat. We'll get a few of them and we'll make a difference.
Okay, fantastic. Andre, thank you very much. Thanks for listening to Unbundled Boost, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to boost business in South Africa. Remember that you can listen to all of the episodes on the Cliff Central app or website, and for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. If you want to know more about Catalytic, please visit catalytic.co.za. CliffCentral.com